The universe tried to make this not happen. I literally did not get out of bed for like 3 days kind of thing.
Oh my
like
gosh.
I couldn't get up.
Well, welcome back to life.
Thank you. Yeah, it feels good. feels great to be able to breathe again.
Jesus. Well, the good news is that everybody's just telling you you look like Pedro Pascal, so maybe you don't need to get in shape.
I know.
You can just bank on that.
I know.
I do see it. Like, I do see it.
I will.
It's the shape of your face. Like, it's got nothing to do with it. It's truly the shape of your face and your nose and, like, the ways you're, I don't know. There. I wouldn't have thought of it, but as soon as I saw that comment, I was like, oh, shit.
It was funny because the first one came in. I was like, this is the first time that anyone's ever said this. And then another person commented it. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. And then when I posted about the comments, you were like, hey, I see this. And then some guys texted me and commented on that like, hey, I see it. I really do see it. And I was like, shoot.
And it's all out of nowhere. It's like other than the people who like me and your like your other people, like for the most part, it's just people of their own accord being like, this is and I think it's because he's had such a resurgence where he's everywhere. So now that he's everywhere, when people see you, they're like, oh, wait.
Like, wait a second.
That's awesome. I'll take what a great comparison with him being the daddy of the internet.
I know.
Right now.
I was like, hey, let's go. This is my shot. They'll be like, what? Explain yourself. I'll be like, I'm not going to say anything Sonic. I'll be like, I'm the music daddy of the internet. I am Pedro Pascal if he could sing. Maybe he can. That's going to be the problem, though.
Who knows?
If he can sing, then it's over for me.
Pedro Pascal if he did sing.
Yes.
Maybe Pedro Pascal if he decided to start a singing career. There we go.
Welcome to Made for Music, brought to you by Stitch Records. I am your host, Duncan Byerjean. This podcast seeks to depict a comprehensive view of the music world from the artistry to the business so you can discover the resources available to you and, most importantly, the stories behind the people making things happen. So if you dig what you hear, please rate and subscribe to Made for Music on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever your preferred podcast medium is, and sign up for the newsletter at madeformusicpodcast.com. As I mentioned, the podcast is brought to you by Stitch Records. Many of you know Cross Stitch, aka Aaron Karstensen, the founder of Stitch Records. He has produced and mixed every single song I've released as DB Stewart. With a background in sound design from Berklee College of Music, there's no one else I trust more to deliver the best sounding mixes than him. The fastest way to get a hold of him, as with many folks on the podcast, is on Instagram under the handle at xstitchmusic, where he also has a lot of short-form production and mixing tutorials, and a link in his bio that points to his long-form courses as well. We have an incredible guest today, responsible for a lot of the folks you've actually heard on this podcast. So without further ado, here's the next episode of Made for Music. But first, a word from our sponsors.
Are you tired of dreaming about your business goals and feeling too overwhelmed to take action? Imagine having a team of experts by your side every step of the way, providing one-on-one coaching and guidance to help you develop an actionable business plan and strategy that results in, well, results. The Forward Female is a coaching and creative agency here to help women around the world start and grow successful businesses and build community. We offer one-on-one coaching, branding, websites, marketing, and so much more to help you get the results that you're looking for. The numbers don't lie. Our clients have seen over 100% increase in overall visibility and impressions when they work with us. So it's time to get out of the overwhelm and let our expert team build you the business of your dreams, because you deserve it. If you head over to forwardfemale.com, contact us and let us know you heard about us through this episode today. You'll get 10% off any service you do with us.
Welcome to Made for Music. Today's friend of the podcast is helping us dive into the world of fan engagement. Amid the pandemic, armed with a passion for figuring out what people want and making connections, she went back to school to study music business at Full Sail University. During this time, she met Tom Higginson of Plain White Tees, the founder of Humans Were Here and a former guest on the podcast, thanks to today's guest. She pitched herself to him as an asset for their PR and social team, and the rest is history. She has expanded upon her work with Humans Were Here in its roster to the likes of The Blushes, Wave Soda, and a bunch of other exciting acts to be revealed soon. So without further ado, Please welcome the queen of bringing things full circle, the definition of a go-getter, and our fan engagement guru for the next hour, Caitlin Rose.
Can you just follow me around and introduce me to people all day, please?
I would love nothing less. Nothing more.
I knew what you meant.
Wow. What a terrible.
I would never say the mean one.
Yeah. You're like, would you do this? I'm like, absolutely not. No, through this, I have so much fun crafting them that should just be my gig now.
I mean, maybe that'll just be like when I first put together a TikTok for this business, or like when we get some social media posts going, that'll be the first one. Like, just referring to me as the queen of anything, let's go.
Yeah. Hey, I got your voiceovers. I got your promo cuts. I'll cut you a promo, whatever you need.
One-stop shop. I love it.
There you go. But yeah, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
We got so much to go over, and I always like going back to the beginning, and then we can zip on up to how we first connected. Absolutely. But what I always love to start off with folks is just, what role did music play in your life growing up, and
sure,
how that set the foundation for everything?
Absolutely. So I was just a super fan. Like, I didn't have, my parents didn't like understand music or have some deep love or play any instruments. I was just a super fan. My first like foray into being a super fan, I was 6 years old and Nick at Night started playing Monkey Mondays.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, this is fantastic. These like young dudes just running around, having romps, being silly. And then they were a band and they made music. And my mom had all their, like, a bunch of records already and all these other things. So I have all the VHS tapes. I have the DVDs, all those things. And that was my first concert when I was 6 years old, to go see the Monkees. My dad took me to the Mann Music Center in Philadelphia. Nice. And that set it off. And then it was the Spice Girls and NSYNC and all that, which slowly lent itself. My dad got married when I was 9, and my stepbrothers were really into like Sum 41 and early punk, pop punk kind of stuff. And not early punk, but kind of that punk to pop punk transition. Mm-hmm. They were really into that. And so listening to it all the time and wanting them to think I was cool, I ended up falling in love with all of it. You know, Newfound Glory, Bowling for Soup was my favorite band from 8th grade. And I wouldn't say that they're still in the top 5,
mm-hmm,
for sure, of my top favorites. And I've connected with Jarrett, which is like, what a weird world that we live in this music industry, where you can truly go from, and we'll get into this, obviously, like you brought up Tom Higginson in the intro, to go from a super fan to then connecting with this person, not just as a fan, but as a professional, has been just like mind-blowing.
Mm-hmm.
Just mind-blowing. But yeah, the Monkees were, to answer your question, short, the Monkees.
Yeah, nice. And that's what I mean, like, you've had such an awesome journey. Like you said, you started super fan and now you're working with them. And that's why I said, like, the queen of bringing things full circle of, hey, I'm a huge fan of these folks and now I am collaborating with them and part of their team.
Absolutely. And we'll get into that with the Blushes too, because there's another one there.
Yeah.
So, lots of circles that have been completed recently.
Right. Well, and so then I guess we take that, and we had actually very similar educational journeys as far as the pandemic hits. And we're like, well, mm-hmm, I guess we're going back to school sort of thing. So do you mind walking me through that of what made you realize, hey, the music business is what I'm going to pursue now?
Absolutely. So it was actually a podcast that led me there. we love the power of podcasts.
Yes.
There's a podcast that I also got Tom on called Bigfoot Collectors Club. So another like super fans of full circle moment. So Bigfoot Collectors Club had a gentleman named Tommy Link on, and he was talking about, he does this social media thing called Link's Looks. And it's like, he always wanted to be recreating fashion, and he loved to look at the red carpet fashion at all the awards shows and all these things. And when he just couldn't figure out what to do, he looked at what he used to love. And that was those red carpet looks and all these things. And it just lent itself. And now in the world of social media, what an easy, like, of course you're going to, you recreate some crazy look from the red carpet, you're going to get so much attention. So I listened to that and I was like, okay, what did I love? Because I was in this weird limbo of like, I moved to LA without really a plan. I just moved to LA to be in LA.
Mm-hmm.
Most people come here because they want to get famous. I just wanted to be warm. And that was pretty much my only goal.
I love that.
I think that's still my Twitter bio. I don't want to say it definitively is because I haven't looked at my Twitter in a long time. But for a while, it was like Los Angeles by way of Chicago and Pennsylvania. Not here to be famous, just to be warm. Like, truly, that was the motivation. So I was kind of, you know, working restaurant jobs, working retail jobs, like stuff that pays the bills but doesn't help you thrive.
Right.
And I was like, all right, I am officially like at an age where I need to have something. I need to figure, you know, my dad was always go back and get a degree. All you need is a degree. And it's like, but I want to get a degree in a thing that I give a crap about.
Right.
So I started looking into just music business kind of in general. My dad actually found Full Sail. He gave me a short list. And as soon as I saw Full Sail, full circle, synchronicity is really a big thing for me. Full Sail was a huge sponsor of Warped Tour.
Oh, I did not realize that.
No brainer. Wow. I see Full Sail. I'm in. Let's go. So I applied. They're like, I mean, we can be candid on here. Full Sail is not a well-rounded education. Mm-hmm. You learn a little bit about a lot of different things. So it wasn't like a traditional, you know, semesters or quarters or anything like that. It was every month I was in a different class.
Mm.
So it was like supposed to be very immersive and really quick. You know, you get 1 month and you deep dive and you learn it all. It's a 2-year program for a 4-year degree.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, absolutely. When I signed up, 2 years to get a 4-year degree. Absolutely. I'll go year round. I don't care. Fully online. I didn't want to relocate to Florida and their program is essentially the same.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the online program and the in-person program are much more different than I realized in mainly in that there are so many things on campus. Activities,
yeah.
Groups,
yep.
There's recording studios, there's, you know, television studios, there's backlots, there's all kinds of things that you just don't have access to and that they don't really bother replacing.
Mm.
So I will say that while I went, so I did actually, just to correct you, I did start Full Sail in 2019. So I actually went back at the beginning of 2019, pre-pandemic.
Gotcha.
And then I graduated during the pandemic. What was nice was that when all the on-campus students had to go virtual, I was already virtual. So nothing changed for me.
Mm-hmm.
So that was very nice. But online school has always been way easier for me. I got my associates partially online. And once I kind of made that transition, I just found that I was so much easier. It was so much easier to manage my own time when I wasn't also just sitting there for an hour, 2 hours, or however long the class might be, not absorbing any of it. Because right. When you're talking at me, I'm not getting any of that. So Full Sail did offer me that I was able to really get my degree in a way that worked for me and that the pandemic did not affect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then April of 2021, I graduated. I didn't get to walk, obviously. So that's also a big thing. Like I genuinely might go buy a 2021 tassel and go do graduation photos now. Like I just might go do it now because it's such a huge accomplishment to go back to school, like in your late 20s. Nobody expected me to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And not that anybody thought I was going to fail, but everybody was kind of like, okay, girl, you do you. And then here I am, valedictorian of my program.
Right.
So like, suck on that.
Which A, congrats. Cause that's huge. So
as much as I feel that the education was lacking, I will say that the environment allowed me to thrive. And that I was really able to get in touch with some creativity that I don't think a lot of schools allow.
Mm.
Like, I think a lot of schools are very black and white. And even in creative tracks, you end up really stunting your creativity. Whereas I do think that Full Sail was really like, you take what you want to do with this project and you make it yours. Because why would, like, what does it benefit us to, you know, to make you do it our way when we can just have you do it and learn.
Right.
So there was definitely a lot that I learned, like there's this, you know, obviously everybody knows Canva now, but at the beginning, pre-pandemic, like it was not as huge. And I learned about Canva. I learned about Unsplash. I learned about Pexels, like all these free resources that are so amazing in this very social media heavy day and age where you have to have access to stuff. So I will say that while I stand by what I said, that it's not a well-rounded education, it did offer me a lot that I don't think other schools would have. So I'm very grateful for it. And very grateful to be valedictorian and to have that, you know, that opportunity to have thrived genuinely so much.
And it's so interesting you mentioned that, because I feel like finding the right tools is such a huge part of education. I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah, obviously you want the material to be up to snuff as well. But yeah, stuff like that. Like I experienced the same thing with Canva. I use that in my day to day now for music projects and day job alike. And I can't imagine.
This Zoom background was for sure made in Canva.
Yes, 100%. Oh, you know what's funny? Is
I love it.
When you had me on the TLB release party, I saw the backgrounds and I was like, wait a second. And I remember thinking... Yeah. The exact same thing that was built in Canva. And I was like, why have I not done that? So the second I saw that, I was
like, they're so cool. And they're so nice and cohesive for things like that. So we had a lot of fun with those. And I'm so glad it inspired you.
I don't even think I had one when I joined that.
I think you maybe had a basic one. Like, I feel like you maybe just had the logo behind you or something.
It was not fleshed out. And then I saw what you had done. I was like, wait a second. that was super cool. And it's so interesting you mentioned that too. So you really took creativity to the next level with your assignments, because that kind of sprung into what you're doing now, if I'm not mistaken. So
yeah, absolutely. So I'm doing a lot of different things now, but I know we want to focus on the fan engagement. So I'll do a quick summary of the other stuff.
Yeah, sure thing.
So as you mentioned, I do work for Tom Higginson at his label, Humans Were Here. I was a super fan first. So back in 2015, had gone through some hard stuff, and Plain White Tees were the band that I really connected with during that low point. And I feel like once you connect with something during a low point, they really stick with you even once you get better, as it were.
100%.
So I was already in connection with him, and he started, and I'll just tell you real quick, he started doing these live streams during the pandemic that he was calling the Wednesday Club, because he was doing them on Wednesdays. He's still doing them when he can. Obviously, now that real life is back, it's more challenging. But whenever he can, he tries to do them. And he started to sell them. So you could do a private live stream where you got to pick the songs. And my Plain White Tees concert buddy and I, we hopped on one. We got the very first one ever. And we got a little tipsy because we were in our own houses, like whatever. And it was supposed to be a very short, play five songs, get out of there. Right. And we were on that call for hours because we all just missed each other so much. Like both me and my friend, but also Tom, like we had those interactions at shows and we would, you know, DM and whatever else, but to actually like, you know, finally get back to a face-to-face type of interaction was so, so amazing. So we were on that call for hours. And at one point I'm a little tipsy and I'm like, Tom, what are you doing on social media with this record label? It's a mess. He like the last couple of posts had just been like the band t-shirts, like just the t-shirts and not a carousel post where they're all there, but all separate posts. And I was like, no, there's no music here. What's happening? And that's not to say, like, I really want to clarify before I move on. Tom is amazing at so many things, but he came up in the music industry when social media didn't matter.
Right.
That wasn't what he was doing. So he isn't focused on it. He doesn't care about it like that. For him, it's like, this is a way for me to connect to my fans. That's great. He's not thinking of it as a business tool, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. And he should maintain that.
Right.
But somebody had to come in and be business minded.
Yeah.
So I came in and he was like, okay, so what would you do? And I don't remember what I said, but whatever it was, it must have worked because I hopped on a call with him and one of his partners like the next week. So whatever it was, he liked it.
I love that we're like, all right, let's break it down. What'd you pitch? I got no clue, but I won the job.
No idea. No idea. But I think I just mostly made fun of him for posting t-shirts on a record label social media. Like, come on, dude. So I you know, played around with a couple of things. Some things stuck, some things didn't. But the important thing was that when they brought me on, they let me just try stuff.
Mm.
And that's been Tom's thing from the, like, that stays true. We can do whatever we want. And that's awesome. And that's been something that I've brought into my own business as well. So...
Hey, what's up? It's Tom from Plain White Tees. You might remember me from a previous episode of Made for Music. I've been hard at work with my record label, Humans Were Here, and we're gearing up to release a ton of new music this year, both new singles and new albums from our artists One Life, Robot X, and Fairview. So you guys have to follow along so you don't miss any of these releases. I'm also super excited about brand new Plain White Tees music coming this year. So to stay connected, follow me on Instagram. My account is @HiggyPop. And make sure to follow my record label, Humans Were Here, too. That account is @humans.were.here. Thanks so much for the support, you guys. Love you.
For Humans Were Here, I started out with just social media, and then I created the street team, and that's sort of what stemmed into what I'm doing now. So I'm still maintaining the street team, which is really cool. I'm really proud of what we've done. And some of it, you know, there's maybe 60 members and maybe 10 of them are regularly active, but I don't care because those 10 are awesome. And they're doing such cool stuff. Like there's these Barbie memes going around. And by the time this comes out, those are going to be super old news, but you should still go back and look at Humans Were Here because one of our street team members did one of Darren.
I saw that earlier today.
The singer of TLB.
Who's going to be?
TLB stands for That Lying Bitch, but we don't call it that anymore. We just say TLB. We shortened it. And because that's not super PC anymore to
I think it's
your
the Lovely
that.
Boys now or something like that. We play around
with different things. Tom loves beer, Tyrio left band, like all these different things. So the caption on it, because it's all like this Barbie, this Ken, this. So it says like this Ken is the one Barbie lied to. And it's so perfect. And like that kind of stuff, I feel like is inspired by the fact that we have this street team. Mm-hmm. Like that they feel like they can come to us with that creativity. They have that space just like I do. So it's been amazing to kind of create that for other people, like Tom created it for me. So still doing that and then planning some events for Humans Were Here, things like that. And really the pride and joy is I have a little intern team now, which is around mid-year last year, I started to bring some interns on because I was always the intern. And then it turned into me doing everything. And I was like, well, this is no longer realistic.
Queen of first, full circle.
Exactly. So now I've got my own three little interns that are coming with, I say little, like they're, but like, it's just because I care about them so much and I just want to carry them with me. Like, I just love them. So they're coming with me to my new business as well. So they're like, I'm so impressed with them all the time, everything they do. So Viv's my social media girl. She took over Humans Were Here socials entirely and has just been crushing it. Like coming up with Spotify playlist covers and, you know, putting them together and fun graphics with the little astronaut guy, just really fun stuff just to keep it active. Cause it just wasn't something I could stay on top of. And then I've got Juliana, who's my press and publicity girl. So she makes the press releases. She sends out all the info. And then when we do branded partnerships, she's the one who's pitching all that. And then I've got Alexa helping me with street team stuff. And she does all my research. Like if I need more information on something, I'm like, Alexa, can you go look this up? And by the next day I have like a 3-page document of all the information that I could have ever wanted. It's amazing. These girls. So I'm so thrilled that I get to give them an opportunity of any kind. Like it's been such a joy. So yeah, Humans Were Here doing all of those things. And then we sort of decided we could replicate this street team idea. We could replicate this Zoom party idea. Like, yeah. We could be doing this for other people because they're fun. Like you've been to the Zoom party, as you mentioned. So just to give a little bit of background, last year, our goal, which we did not do because life, but our goal was a song every month. So whether it was, you know, originally pre-pandemic, the goal of Humans Were Here was a song from every artist every month, which in the pandemic became not realistic because you had to get places to record things and to, you know, produce and mix and all these other things. So it wasn't happening. And then last year was the first year we were like, okay, maybe we can poke our heads out and put out some regular music. So we were like, we'll put out a song every month for the label. Mm-hmm. We were like, okay, now that we're like big, we're back, we're better than ever. What can we do? Because we've been doing the Instagram lives, we've done the TikTok lives, we've done the Facebook lives, we've done YouTube premieres, all that stuff. But none of that was face-to-face interaction. And you can only do so much. Like I know with Instagram, you can invite somebody to be on with you, but that only like, that gets to be so crazy because then their service is terrible and you can't hear them. And then you have to kick them off the live and then invite somebody else. It's too much. So with the Zoom parties, that was my idea. And Tom thankfully went by his, we can do whatever we want motto. So we've done 4 of them now and they're really, really fun. They're so like, it's, they just get better and better every time. The attendance varies just depending on the song, depending on the artist, but the fun of it is the same. So we put together some activities. So like the one that you came to, we had some trivia and the podcasts that the members of TLB had been on. Essentially my street team came up with questions based on those episodes. And then the podcast hosts asked the questions and people tried to guess the answers. And we had all these prizes. We had like a wheel that we spun and there was like Humans Were Here merch. We had some partners that gave away some stuff like candles and soda and things like that. Like you mentioned Wave Soda at the beginning. So yeah, that was, we did it once and we were like, oh my gosh, we love this. And we just kept on doing it. We have like, they did an acoustic version of the song that we only aired on the actual live, and we never did anything else with it. So it was exclusive. We have done something else with one of them now, because we submitted to another podcast who was at that show, or at that party rather, Pop Punk and Pizza, did a special like Valentine's Day episode. And so it was Effed Up and Lonely was released for Valentine's Day last year. So it was perfect. So we did give them that acoustic version. But for a year it sat there as an exclusive.
Right.
And you get to really interact with them. Like, you've got the chat, and I'm there hosting. So I'm reading the chat off to the guys if they can't pay attention to it. So it's just a little bit more interactive. People are on there. Their faces are there. So you can actually, we did a photo of everybody, which is so cool. Like, it just felt like a little bit closer. And after 2 years of not being near anybody, it felt so good. So of course I wanted to do it again and again and again. So those are the two main services that we're bringing over with us, is street team creation and management and Zoom parties. But we're also going to be doing branded partnerships with artists. We're going to be doing events. Like, I just helped with a listening party with the Blushes, who you mentioned. So quick background on the Blushes. I know I'm bouncing around all over the place.
I love it.
I appreciate you letting me. So I met Katie Earle, who was one of the lead singers of the Mowglies when they toured with the Plain White Tees just before the pandemic. The Mowglies were doing such cool fan engagement stuff during the pandemic. So as soon as everything shut down, they were doing, like, there was that app where you could watch Netflix together, and mm-hmm. there was like a chat on the side. They were hosting parties like that. They did like a match game on Zoom where they had, it was so crazy. I don't know how they did it, but I need to find who did it for them, because I'm obsessed with it and I want to replicate it. It literally was like where the people's heads popped up on the screen looked like match game.
Oh, interesting.
Like, they had a whole layout. It was crazy. I don't know how they did it. So they were doing such cool stuff. Like, they just wanted to stay connected to their fans so badly. They were doing Twitch streams and all kinds of stuff. And then they went their separate ways. They had evolved as much as they could have evolved, and they felt that it was time. So then fast forward to just over a year ago. I mean, they sort of started to do it during the pandemic, but just over a year ago, they played their first show as the Blushes. So it's Katie Earle from the Mowglies, which was my lead in. And then a girl named Lori Dorfman, who is the absolute just gem of this earth, like just one of my favorite humans on the planet. And you know, my name is Caitlin Rose. The third member of the Blushes is Katie Rose.
Wow.
Wait, let me blow your mind some more. We're talking about synchronicity in full circle, right? The way that I discovered Bowling for Soup the summer before eighth grade was this little like sampler CD from Hot Topic called the Back to School Sampler. Uh-huh. Track 3 was Punk Rock 101, which was like their big hit at the time. Uh-huh. Track 4 was Overdrive by Katie Rose.
Wow. That is insane. That
so when I saw, I know. So I saw on social media that Katie and Katie were friends, and I was like, oh, that's crazy. And then fast forward to the Blushes, and I'm like, what is happening?
That is, I always, the music world is so much smaller than, I realize every day, like, I think I realize how small it is, but that's pretty insane. Like, a Hot Topic sampler CD, like, grouping the people that later became your literal passion projects and partners in business is...
I wish I could find the CD. I really, really wish I could find the CD, because I would love to see who else is on there and see if I can just check off some more, if I can work with more of them.
Yeah, that... I mean, honestly, it might as well be your business development list. Truly. Yeah, like, it makes too much sense.
So, it, like... just blew my mind. And then I meet Katie Rose at the first Blushes show in LA, and I'm like, I've loved you since I was 12. What's happening? So at the time, so this is a year ago, I was like just young and eager, and a year ago I was like, I can help you. What do you need? You're a brand new band. I can help. I can do things, having no idea how to articulate what I could actually do. Uh-huh. And Katie Rose is the one who broke my heart, and she was like, we don't really know what we're doing yet, so we can't really ask you for help. Like, they were a brand new band. Like, right. They don't know what they need because they don't know what direction they're going to go in. Mm-hmm. But what's been beautiful has been watching the whole thing develop.
Yeah.
And so they just, they keep playing shows, and they're just playing everywhere in LA. They literally are constantly playing shows all over LA. Meanwhile, Katie Earle, her partner who was also in the Mowglies with her, has a separate band called Modern Original with another member of the Mowglies. So there's like all sorts of like, because I'm about to work with Modern Original too. So it's just going to all come.
I shouldn't even act surprised. Like I was for all of a half second, and then my brain went, dude, duh.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to put up a vision board and put Taylor Swift on it as far as who I want to work with. So we'll have to do another episode when that happens. That's the ultimate goal.
Yeah. There you go.
Talk about the queen of fan engagement. Like, let's bump it up, girl. Let's do some in-person things. Let's go. So, Taylor Swift, if you're listening, I've got ideas. Call me.
If she's a listener of this podcast, I'll be so stoked. But my world will change very rapidly. I'm like, hey, sponsors.
I mean, if she would just share it to her stories, you'd be set.
Yeah. Rocket ship. So, you know what? You're right. We're going to be tagging her in every post promoting this episode.
Hashtag Taylor Swift at Taylor Swift.
Because she doesn't get tagged in stuff all the time. We'll cut through the noise.
It'll be the first thing on her
feed.
For
sure. 100%.
That's
hilarious.
But so now Katie Earle is like 8 months pregnant. And by the time this comes out, she'll have had her baby, which is very exciting.
Congrats.
So congrats, Katie. Congrats to the first blushes, baby. So as such, when they're planning events and stuff, that's a whole person down of a very small team. So they announced this listening party, which was supposed to be like a 1 year anniversary of their first show. In addition to like, they were going to play, you know, on a recording, not play live, but play all of their songs that they've recorded. So whether they've ever played them live before, whether they've released them or not before, anything that they've recorded was getting played. And I was like, this is dope. So I DM them right in response to the announcement. And I was like, do you need help? Just expecting another like, oh, we're good. Thanks. And Lori was like, absolutely. Please, let's talk.
Hey.
You're down a person. Having somebody who you know is passionate come to you and be like, hey, I can help. Like, I won't even tone it down. Like, it was definitely a blessing for them that I stepped in right then. Not even because of who I am, but because that extra set of hands coming in at that like last moment is so nice. So within 1 week, Lori and I hopped on a call and we just did idea bouncing. Boom, 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 boom. And came up with all these ideas. We came up with a raffle giveaway. We put together this like beauty bar where people could blush themselves up because they have these bows.
That's good.
Yeah, they're like specific bows that are the blushes bows. So it was like blush yourself up. We put like some fake nails out and things like that that they could put on. And then the bows, and we had makeup mirrors. And then I also had a tattoo artist that came and did tattoos live at the event.
Dang.
Yeah.
All right.
We also had, I had like an idea for some kind of a guest book for people to like leave messages. So Lori bought this like recipe box and then cut a bunch of papers into hearts. And she's like, we're bringing this to every show from now on. This is amazing. People were just like, there's all these notes and they're doing, and it lends itself to social media content, which everyone knows is king, because they're doing like unboxing essentially of reading love notes. Like, it's great. So it's just, this tiny little germ of an idea just turned into these like great things. And now Katie Rose and I are about to have dinner this weekend to talk about her other music projects.
Oh, that's so exciting.
It's so cool.
Yeah, and it's so cool. You mentioned when you first connected with Tom about Humans Were Here, it's we can do anything, and just seeing that like through line, because I feel like really just keeping the creativity a part of it is letting y'all just skyrocket forward.
Absolutely.
What would you say was the biggest learning experience? You mentioned you stepped into Humans Were Here and they were like, we can do anything. Like, I'm just going to test and go. And obviously you've kind of drawn this through line already of stuff that you're carrying through, but I guess at more of a macro level, what was the biggest takeaway from that experience? Whether it be on the business development or just ideation side of things.
I mean, for me, I think not focusing on what each individual person is saying has been really imperative for me, because you'll I send out these surveys to the street team and I'll be like, what do you like? What do you not like? All these other things. And you'll get 15 of them that are, we love everything. Everything is fantastic. Please keep it up. I would love to see more of this. I would love to see more of that. And then you get the one that's like, you should be doing this differently. You should be doing this differently. You should be doing this differently. And at first, that would get into my head in the way of like, you don't even know what I'm doing. And I would get very defensive. Mm-hmm. Because the truth is they don't know what goes into it. They don't know how much planning I have to do. They don't know how much back and forth there is. They have no idea. They just see the end results. Mm-hmm. So not focusing on those individual, and not that every individual is important and I want to hear all their voices, but not focusing on that one individual and what they're saying, whether it's right or wrong, mm-hmm. what they're saying you're doing, when it's so much better to look at the big picture, at what the majority of people want, at what the majority of people are enjoying or not enjoying. So looking at that big picture has been really, really good for me. And then second, if I may add a second one, is just shooting your fucking shot. Like again and again and again. Because with the Blushes, they turned me down a year ago mm-hmm. and I just kept going to shows and I kept supporting them and I kept loving them and they kept loving me back as a person. And then finally, when the opportunity was right, they brought me in and they were like, oh my gosh, you're amazing. And I was like, I've been amazing for the last year, but I'm glad that you know it now. That's awesome.
It really is a through line in everything these days, especially you mentioned like social media being king and mm-hmm. all the feedback I heard, whether it was through grad school or people that are starting to pop off, was that persistence mm-hmm. being so critical, especially in music, because mm-hmm. you don't have to get ready if you stay ready sort of thing. Yep. And I think exhibit A here is you're like you said, you're like, a year ago, I was ready to do this. Like mm-hmm. wasn't right timing for whatever reason.
Exactly.
But
and I had to learn a lot too, because I don't think that I could have done what I did with that listening party a year ago. Sure. I would have just been like, yeah, let's, maybe we get some snacks. That'd be cool. Like I wouldn't have had a clue. But doing all these Zoom parties, like, has given me a little bit of an idea of how to get people to interact with the event and not just with the band, because you want them to remember the event. You want them to remember that night, whether it's virtual or in person, whether it's a listening party or a Zoom party or something else, or a show or a VIP meet and greet or whatever it is. You want people to remember that, because that's how they're going to keep doing it. My whole thing is turning fans into stans. Like those people who are like, yeah, I'm your fan. Like I like your music. This is good. But they have that experience with you. And now they're going to be like, holy shit, I love the Blushes. Like. Mm-hmm. So that's like what I aim to do, is just to create fans like that. Those super, super, super fans.
I love that. And catering to that subset of people is so critical for longevity. Like you mentioned, I mean, I think when I joined that listening party, folks had even mentioned, they were mentioning shows from 10 years before and how they'd been to two other, you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. I've seen pictures of latter ones, and it's like the same people are coming back for more every single time, because mm-hmm. there's a community that they're part of. And to your point, it's not even just with the band members. It's with the right. other people that are continuously showing up.
Exactly. Exactly.
But mm-hmm. that's so fun. And that's just so exciting to see that all come back around. It's just so cool. And getting to see things develop from outside looking, I mean, I know we've talked, obviously.
Of course.
Dating back. Well, I guess that's kind of funny. The way we connected was the humans were here in Tom.
Was yeah, just, I was like, hey, I would love to get Tom on your podcast.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, hell yeah.
Absolutely.
And that's what's so cool. And I think what I want to shout you out for is not only the persistence, but just the support of all those things too, because it wasn't just, hey, get him on there. Cool. See you later. It was like bringing right. folks back into the fold. And mm-hmm. I think building a community and a network of folks that genuinely care about what you're building is super cool, mm-hmm. because absolutely. Everyone yeah. moves up together. And I think sometimes what people lose sight of is, especially with music, can be so backstabby in places. But mm-hmm. when there's really a community being built, people will latch mm-hmm. on to that, both on the artist and industry front, as well as the fans. So
absolutely.
Just wanted to give you your flowers on that.
Thank you. I will say it's not just me that feels that way either. Like I definitely am. I'm very lucky that I've made a lot of connections that are also, there's a seat for everybody at the table mm-hmm. and keeping those connections. Like, I mean, in the last like 2 weeks, I feel like I've been talking about this in Hollywood and in a lot of like big business, like Silicon Valley, we just keep working with buttheads. once somebody is a butthead, why are we continuing to work with them? There are other talented people. There are other smart people. There are other creative people who can get that job done without being buttheads. And I'm choosing to use buttheads instead of the other words I want to use.
Yeah. I'm sure there's like five worse. Or six superlatives that come to mind.
Exactly. So for me, I always want to be somebody that people want to work with. And I've definitely made my mistakes. Like there are times like last year, I overwhelmed myself a lot. And I took on way more than I should have taken on because I wanted to help everybody so much. My intentions were so good. But then instead, everything fell through the cracks because I couldn't hold on to anything. So my goal going into this year was, I actually was listening to, everything's going to come back to a podcast, I'm telling you right now. I was listening to Odd Meets World, which is the Boy Meets World rewatch podcast. And they were talking to, I can't remember who the guest was. Oh, it was Kathy Ireland, because she was on an episode of that show in the first season. She's a model and she like created a whole business starting with a pair of socks. That's like what they talked about on the episode. But her promise at the beginning, or her promise to herself, was to under-promise and over-deliver.
Mm,
and I heard that at like the transition of ending 2022, beginning 2023. And I was like, oh, that's what I need to be doing. Instead of over-promising and then not following through because I physically cannot, don't promise as much and then over-deliver and just impress everybody with what I bring to the table because they were only expecting this much. So that's been a big thing. But also, you know, connecting with other people, like I said, who have that mentality of there's a seat for everybody at the table. So I do want to shout out another podcast, which is Music Networking 101, which is hosted by Jarrett Reddick of Bowling for Soup and Danny Freeman. And I just had Danny Freeman on as a guest on something unrelated. And he talked to me, he says it a different way. He says, there's enough pizza for everybody.
Nice. I love that.
So we're saying the same thing. And I just like, that's so important to me because like I'm talking about with my interns, I love that I've been able to give them that opportunity. And the Blushes and Tom, like those people, they gave me that opportunity. So I love that I'm able to pass that on to the next person. And all I want to do with these street teams is the same thing. Give them an opportunity. Give, you know, the fans an opportunity. That's all I want to do is just like spread that around because there is a seat for everybody at the table. There's no reason to be so competitive. Like there was somebody I was talking to about this business, about this fan engagement business. And she said, you know, there's a lot of people that are focusing on fan engagement now because people are finally realizing how important it is. But you're doing it differently. And I appreciate that. And I'll tell you that the reason I'm doing it differently is because I don't want to compete with anybody else. I've reached out to, and I will say I've gotten no response, but I have reached out to other companies that are doing like similar to what I'm doing. They're offering really completely different at the end of the day, but on the surface, it looks very similar. And I was like, oh, maybe we can partner because what they're doing is like a step to the left of what I'm doing. So maybe I outsource this to them and then they outsource this to me. That's all I want to do is just work with other people who also give a shit about fan engagement, who also give a shit about small artists. That's all I want to do.
Like you've even seen bring people on and getting to collaborate in that way. Things are just growing and expanding and you can see the excitements there with everyone involved. So it is funny. I was at the studio this morning with my buddy. We were having a very similar conversation. It's not about like fan engagement businesses.
More synchronicity,
but,
DB.
Yeah, for real though. But we were just talking about this whole, there's room for everyone, the need to build community and how, especially with when the pandemic hit and it was basically what can you Absolutely. Do via social media, became very mm-hmm. isolating. It's hard to like reach back out, especially because mm-hmm. it's branded in some cases, rightfully so, as an industry that's just like, oh, everyone's out to get, you're going to get screwed, et cetera, et cetera. Right. So it makes it hard for people to ignore Absolutely. The noise.
Absolutely.
It's so awesome. And I think it's cool to see you light up about this stuff because obviously when we first connected, it was all humans were here, TLB. Right. You're obviously a massive Plain White Tees fan and getting to work with them. But Absolutely. When we just reconnected for this episode, you were talking about the Blushes. And you're like, it's a highlight of my life and yeah. it's the work. And I'm yeah. saying that in quotes for the folks that aren't watching this, which is just so cool to see. And I guess from your perspective, I know you mentioned it's really just getting after being consistent and following up, et cetera. But for someone who is trying to maybe step into this business, you obviously have brought on a bunch of interns. You guys flipping the script for someone who wants to kind of break in or work in the industry and maybe not have a history mm-hmm. working in it. What would your advice be to taking that first step?
I mean, honestly, I would say start with somebody local. So for me, I was very lucky because I had a connection to Tom already before I wanted to work with him. Mm-hmm. So it was very easy for me to say, Tom, hello. But what you can do if you don't have a connection like that, which most people don't, I'm very aware that I'm very, very lucky. Go to local shows, support your local artists, which, by the way, we should be doing anyway.
Yes.
If you're going to spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars on all the Ticketmaster fees just to get nosebleed seats to see like whoever that's going to just be back again next year because they can afford to tour again next year, you can spend $20 on a local show. Mm-hmm. Find an artist you like. I'm not saying go and see people that you don't like their music. Go find music that you enjoy that's local, that's small, that's indie. And those people will need your help. And they might not be able to pay you at first. Tom didn't pay me at first because Humans Were Here was not a lucrative business. The Blushes didn't pay me for the help that I just gave them. And I'm not saying that to call anybody out. I'm saying it because everybody needs to start somewhere. I didn't expect to get paid at first because why would I? So I know that there's this big, I should back up because there's a big issue in a lot of Facebook networking groups in the music industry in LA for women, all of that. And there's a lot of talk about this free labor and how people are taking advantage of people who are doing internships and doing labor for free. I want to clarify, if you're interning for a company like Universal, like Sony, like Netflix, like whatever, they should be paying you.
They got the cash.
If they can afford it, they should be paying you. But if you want to break in somewhere, going and finding a local artist who needs your help where you get to grow that together is amazing. And they're not going to be able to pay you. They're not going to be able to pay you. But what's going to be cool is you're going to get to do whatever you want. You're going to get to be as creative as possible within that artist's brand. You're going to get to increase your skills. And then when they see how valuable you are and they're making money, then they can pay you. My thing with my interns is when I'm making money at this new business, you're going to make money. It's going to be a percentage because I'm the one building it. So you'll get a percentage. And then once we get to a point where there's a pay scale, like a payroll, then that's what we'll do. But if I'm making money, you're making money. If I'm not making money, unfortunately, I can't pay you. So I think that there's a balance with these unpaid internships because I do think it's very easy to take advantage of people. Mm-hmm. But a big thing for me with my interns, and this is what I think is a green flag in an internship, if I may brag for a moment about my green flags.
There you go.
I think you need to find a good leader.
Yes.
I think I've really developed into a good leader, especially with these interns who have allowed me to learn how to lead. I think that finding somebody who's going to not just say, do this, do this, do this, but instead who's going to say, okay, what part of this are you interested in? What do you want to learn more about? What do you want to improve? What are you maybe not so good at, but that I can teach you? What are you not so good at that I can outsource and find a resource for you on? Helping you develop is your boss's job at an internship or anywhere else. That's their job, is to help you develop and be better. They are responsible for you. Your boss is responsible for you in that professional space. So if my interns aren't doing a good job, aren't completing assignments, aren't keeping up with social media, aren't keeping up with press releases, whatever it is, that's on me. And the reason that we don't fall behind on those things is because I am constantly checking in. Hey, what's your capacity this week? I know you have a lot of schoolwork. Do you need me to do you need to step back and I can ask the other person to do this instead? We share everything. And I also empower them to do things on their own. So for instance, Alexa just came to me with, and I won't say the name of the app, but we've been looking into different time management type of apps that are free because we are so low budget. So we've been using Notion. I like Notion. I personally have never gotten it to work the way that I want it to work. So it's not my favorite thing. So she has this app that she got a free trial of through school. And she said, hey, Caitlin, do you want to maybe try this since Notion wasn't working out? And I said, tell you what, we have an internal call on Tuesday. Why don't you bring it up to the group and we can see what everybody thinks? Because who cares what I think? It matters what we all think. And if it doesn't work for me, but it works for everybody else, then we should do that.
I love that approach.
I'll attribute it a little bit to Tom because of the, you know, we can do whatever we want, but also another podcast, Office Ladies. They talk all the time about how Greg Daniels' big thing, and The Office is like my biggest, like that's my ultimate. I'll watch that any day, all day, every day. And I will refer back to it. And my boyfriend and I like will quote it at each other. My dad and I will quote it at each other. Like that's my whole life. But Greg Daniels' big thing on that show was the best idea wins.
Mm.
No matter who comes up with it, it could be the lunch lady. It could be the director of that episode who's never seen an episode before. It could be, you know, some actor who has one line in every episode and that's all he does. It could be anybody. The best idea wins. It doesn't matter who comes up with it. So kind of what I've gotten really good at is like being a sponge and just taking in all these different like pieces of advice from not just the music industry. I think a lot of people focus only on the music industry, but there's so much carryover from all these other places that you can so easily bring in. Things from when I was in food service, things from when I was in retail, things from my office job all come in and work together in this really great way. So I realize I've gotten very off topic from your question, but my answer is connect with local people who are doing what you want to be doing. So whether that's an artist, whether that's an indie record label, and just offer something or try to connect or get on a call with somebody and just pick their brain. Like, it doesn't have to be a job. You can also just say, hey, listen, I love what you're doing at, let's say it's Humans Were Here because we're such a teeny tiny record label. I love what you guys are doing at Humans Were Here. I would love to get on a call and talk about your social media strategy and see if maybe there's something I can offer and also something that you can teach me. I would love to hop on a call like that. Are you kidding? So I would say find somebody who's doing what you're doing that you can access. So it's important to find somebody accessible because not everybody is. Right. Obviously, we're talking about Taylor Swift listening to this podcast.
We're manifesting here.
Exactly. That's I'm the queen of manifestation as well. So I've manifested lots of things in this last year or two that I'm like working with Tom. Are you kidding? Are you kidding? Okay. Manifested the shit out of that one. So yeah, I mean, just taking your shot and it's really scary, mm-hmm. but just shooting a DM or, you know, finding an email, don't be creepy about it. And don't be pushy because if somebody ignores you, they're just busy. There was actually a girl who offered, and this was very disappointing. And this is something I never want to do. This girl offered, I won't say her name or who she works for, but she works for a really big company in the music industry. And she offered these like quick, you know, 30, I think it was like 15, maybe 30 minute sessions just to pick her brain, just a mentor call, a one-on-one, just you and her. And I was so ready because as I was coming up with this fan engagement idea was as she offered it. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to get this amazing insight. It got rescheduled. It got rescheduled again. It got rescheduled a third time with no notice. I just suddenly disappeared from my calendar. And I emailed the assistant and I was like, what's going on? And he was like, oh, sorry. She had another scheduling conflict, but I'll be in touch to reschedule. That was the beginning of March. And I've not heard back. And I emailed again earlier this week and I was like, hey, it's been a couple weeks. I would really love to get on this call that I was offered. I understand she's very busy and her time is very valuable. And it is. And I included that because it is valuable. And it was so kind of her to offer. What sucks is offering something and then not following through when it's to the benefit of somebody who needs mentorship.
Right.
So I would say that to anybody who's listening to this podcast, slide into my DMs and I'll tell you whatever you want to know.
Hey, there it is. And I guess that actually brings, before we get to the get stumped section, because I did revamp that. Well, actually, you know what? No, we'll close that. We'll make people hold on for the contact info.
Sure. And you'll put it in the show notes or whatever.
Absolutely. We've gone through a number of arcs, which is so cool. And I'm just going to go ahead and get your preferences like super quick. And we're going to rewind to growing up, the intro to pop punk. Are you going with Newfound Glory or Sum 41?
Newfound Glory.
And if we go to Plain White Tees album while they were still independent, Come On Over or Stop?
Come On Over.
Major label debuts, All That We Needed or Big Bad World?
I'm going to tell you why this is hard, but I will tell you my answer. I prefer one album musically, but the other album was released on my birthday. And I was not into the Plain White Tees at the time. Like, I knew who they were, but I wasn't a super fan at the time. But later on, Tom had found show posters and like release posters from the release of that album that had my birthday on them. So Big Bad World was released on my birthday in, I think, 2008. Mm-hmm. And so a show poster that says like coming 9/23/2008. But All That We Needed, I think, has the better music on it. So I do have to go with that, even though sentimentally, Big Bad World.
Yeah. Fair. And then Monkees or Spice Girls?
I'm going to go monkeys only because I'm in a super big monkeys deep dive right now where I just read Mike Nesmith's book and then I read Davy Jones's book. I have Mickey Dolenz's book that I read a few months ago. Like, I'm doing a little bit of a deep dive on the monkeys right now. So I will say them. But the Spice Girls do have a very special place in my heart because they're all ladies and we love girl power. They were the ultimate girl power. That was their thing.
Yeah. I am seeing with the monkeys. That might be, you might have your own angle there with all the research you're doing, your own little podcast on the monkeys. And
I have ideas for what to do for the monkeys. Yeah. Don't you worry. If there's something that comes up with the monkeys for me later, you won't be surprised.
I will not. Maybe it'll
I'm in contact with this woman who held two monkeys conventions on the East Coast after Davy Jones died. So, I mean, her DMs are very easy to access. It's not like it was like some crazy revelation, but I pitched her an idea and she was like, oh, wow, that would be really cool. And that's like as far as it got. So I feel like I have to like build a little bit and then bring it back to her and be like, but it could also be real.
Yeah.
So who knows?
That's so
cool. I may be coming to your town. That's a monkey's joke.
That's why you need that podcast, is there's going to be a niche that people are like, we need the monkeys quips.
Honestly, I could come up with them. It would not take long.
just collect, and then by the time you pitch, you're like, hey, not only do we have this idea that I'm spinning off from the convention, there's also supplementary shows that are going to spin off from this, and we're going to have a whole monkeys renaissance.
There may also be a book being written, like in my future, there may be a book in progress that starts with the monkeys. Like that's sort of the beginning of the book for me. So I don't want to say too much just in case the plans kind of change and it becomes not a book, but something else, but because it could be a blog, it could be something else. But as of right now, I'm planning on doing a book and the monkeys are the very first chapter.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, cannot wait. And thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you.
We got to dive into the big three final questions and then we're going to hit people with where to stay tuned for all the exciting stuff coming up. But
absolutely.
First and foremost, obviously your passion is shown through this entire time. Why do you work in music?
Because I literally wouldn't know what else to do. It took me a long time to figure that out. But as soon as it clicked, it was like, oh, duh, obviously.
Right.
And I think it's also great because the music industry can, like we said, veer off into other industries. Like I could easily take these fan engagement things and do something for a television show or do something for a play or do something for whatever. So I like that I can start here and then branch out. I feel like the music industry really lends itself to that. Whereas I feel like when you're in Hollywood, it's Hollywood, music, that's it. You can't really veer in other crazy directions because Hollywood takes up so much. So music, I feel like, is a little bit more fluid. But also, yeah, I wouldn't know what else to do.
I love that in a way. That's such like a just pure answer in so many ways, you know. Conversely, and we've talked a lot about the team that you're building and whatnot. What do you hope the people around you get out of working with you in the music space?
I hope we all get rich. No, I mean that too. But I hope that I genuinely, whatever success looks like for each individual member of my team, whether it's financially, whether it's getting a role, you know, as this position or whatever it is, that's what I hope. I really hope that my team, as big or as small as it may become, is successful in their own minds. If they find that they are having a good time and they feel like they're achieving their goals, then I will be so thrilled. But also, let's make a lot of money.
Yeah, there you go. And I guess rewinding, you mentioned that it's been kind of a journey to discover that, hey, music is what I want to work in. You rewind to your 15-year-old self. What advice are you giving to her?
When I was 15, that would have been probably around the time, that would have been around the time I had a Zanga, which was pre-MySpace, if we really want to date ourselves here. And my Zanga name was music_is_my_life.
Wow.
So what I would say is, if that's fucking true, act like it. Don't take 15 more years to figure it out. If that's true, act like it. I wasn't immersed in the music community at that time. And I think that also like part of why I love the Plain White Tees was because I'm going to these shows and meeting people and making friends, which was new for me. I was going to shows alone or I was bringing a friend and that was it. And I feel like Plain White Tees, just something about them really allowed me to talk to the other people around me. And one of my best friends, Jasmine, I met at a Plain White Tee show. And I'm actually flying up to see her next week to see a different band that we both like. So yeah, just if music is your life, believe that and stick with it and act like it. And maybe it won't take so long to come full circle, as it were.
Right. All in due time. That is so cool, though. Thank you so much for sharing your story. It's so great to connect. And before we let you go, let people know where they can find you with all this exciting stuff coming up.
Absolutely. So my personal Instagram is Caitlin Rose, CaitlinRoseE6. So you can certainly find me on there personally, or the business is going to be caitlin.rose.communications. That's not true. It's caitlinrose.communications. The email, which you can certainly reach out to, I don't mind, is caitlin.rose.communications@gmail.com. Someday there will be a Caitlin at Caitlin Rose Communications, but I'm always going to keep that, you know, caitlin.rose.communications@gmail open. So if this finds you, you know, the day it posts or 10 years later, that email will be available for you. Please reach out to me. I would love to hear from literally anybody about anything you think about this episode or me.
Hell yeah. Thank you so much, as always.
Thank you.
Yeah. So excited for you and cannot wait for folks to get to hear this.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Hey guys, if you liked what you heard, then let me tell you a little bit more about Caitlin Rose Communications. If you are an artist, a band, even a podcast or an entertainer of any kind with an established fan base, then we would love to work with you. We can do a canvassing campaign. We could do a branded giveaway, street teams, parties, all kinds of events. We want to work with you. And for a limited time, if you email us at caitlin.rose.communications@gmail.com and mention that you listened to this episode of Made for Music, then maybe we'll give you a little discount. You'll have to email us to find out. So again, that's caitlin.rose.communications@gmail.com. And keep an eye on Caitlin Rose Communications on Instagram as well, because there's going to be some fun stuff coming. We're so excited to get started. And thank you so much for listening. We'll see you out there. And let's get engaged.
Shouts out to Caitlin for being on Made for Music. Be sure to email her at caitlin.rose.communications@gmail.com and mention you listened to her episode of Made for Music for your shot at a discount for one of the many services that she will be offering. And if you dig what you hear on the podcast, brought to you by Stitch Records, Forward Female, Humans Were Here, and Caitlin Rose Communications, please rate and subscribe to Made for Music on Spotify, Apple Music, or whatever your preferred podcast medium is. Truly appreciate that extra effort, and I will see you next time.